common sense recap of the day's biggest stories. It's John Catsimatidis and Cats at Night on 77 WABC.
Welcome back. This is Cats at Night. John Catsimatidis here. And with us today is Larry Kudlow to tell us where's the economy going? How are you, Larry?
I'm good, John. How are you?
Good. I mean, it's cold out there, and I just heard the Breakers commercial. I think I wish we could get on the airplane and go head right down.
Last time I talked to you, you were in Miami. I'm always here.
And Connecticut is a little bit closer. Colder.
Yeah, well, it's pretty cold in New York. It's a pretty cold stock market, which continues to get slammed. And the NASDAQ is now 14% below its November peak. And the Dow and the S&P are down for the third consecutive week. There's a lot of worries out there right now. I mean, you had Biden's press conference where instead of shifting gears away from big government socialism, he was kind of doubling up, and he said, the problem isn't his policies, and the people really love him. It's he has to go around the country and communicate better on these policies. I beg to differ. I think that that people are not buying the product that he's selling, and he's in denial about inflation. And this Build Back Better, which is now Build Back Smaller or Build Back Chunkier, none of that stuff's going to go through. We continue to save America and kill the bill. But he was very stubborn. He botched everything on Ukraine. The Ukraine story looks worse and worse, John. That may be weighing on the stock market, too. I mean, today, for example, the State Department issued a statement saying they're going to start to evacuate the Kiev embassy, the U.S. embassy in Kiev. We had Senator Roger Wicker on, who was just in Ukraine. The Ukrainians themselves expect a Soviet invasion of some kind. Biden blundered at the press conference by saying it might have been a minor incursion. That was crazy. They tried to walk it back, but then they walked it back, and it raised even more questions. You know, we are reacting to Putin. We are not out there taking steps to prevent this, like shutting them out of the world banking system or stopping the Nord Stream 2 pipeline. So you've got
We're feeding Putin all this money. We're paying him almost $90 a barrel for almost a million barrels a day. So we are supplying the money for him to fight the war.
$90 million worth.
To some extent, that's true. That's the way it works out. But you see, we've been in this reactive mode. You know, we should have slapped the Nord Stream sanctions back on, never should have lifted them in the first place. We should change our whole energy policy. This Green New Deal thing is killing fossil fuels, pipelines, drilling, fracking. Oil is expensive, and it's not in good supply. So, yeah, you're running up towards the $90 a barrel. That's correct. There's no telling what will happen. You've got four NATO countries surrounding the Ukraine. So you could have a blow-up in there that might have very nasty consequences. Also at home, the inflation rate continues. Consumer spending is softening. Profits look a little softer. Interest rates are rising. Janet Yellen yesterday said the inflation rate by the end of this year is going to be 2%. I don't know what she's smoking. Actually, she spoke to this crazy Davos conference of worldwide corporate socialists, and she tried to make a case that this is a modern supply-side program. But what she was basically describing is a big government socialist program. More spending, more child allowances, more teachers' money, tax cuts don't work, deregulation doesn't work, blah, blah, blah. Basically ignoring the facts of the Trump tax cuts and deregulation and energy independence. So this is a very uncertain moment, John. That's all I can say.
The price of gasoline has doubled. Before crude oil continues to go up, that means there's a whole round of additional price increases in food in the next 60 days. How could Janet Yellen say 2% by the end of the year?
Larry, what do you think the inflation rate might be by the end of the year?
Not less than 5%. and it could be as high as 8 or 10.
I agree with Larry.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm going to assume that the $5 trillion big government socialist spending plan is defeated. I'm going to assume that. But right now, if you have a zero target rate and a 7% CPI, real rates minus 7%, that is easy, loose money. In other words, the Fed hasn't even started to fight all of the increased money. They haven't started to withdraw it from the banking system. And they got so much more work to do than they will admit, or a lot of people in the market will admit. The 10-year is hovering around 170, 180. I think it's going to go to 3%. And I think that's going to damage stock market valuations. Even if earnings, if profits rise moderately, profits are the mother's milk of stocks, but they're not going to rise, you know, at 20-25% like they have been. So, and then you've got a problem. Real wages are falling because of the inflation. People are working. Jobs are okay. Unemployment is low. But inflation is a tax on middle-income folks. And I think that may start to take its toll. So I don't want to be excessively pessimistic. The cavalry is coming. The GOP is going to do very, very well next November. The worst of its, the federal takeover of election law is being defeated. There's not going to break the filibuster. I don't think the big government socialist bill is going to pass. So that's good. That's okay.
And company earnings are going to be very good for fourth quarter 21 and first quarter 22.
Well, we'll see. I don't think they're going to be as strong. I think they're being overestimated right now. I think they're going to continue to rise, which is very, very important for the stock market, for a kind of backstop for stocks. But I don't think they're going to rise as fast as some people do. I don't think the economy is going to be as rapid in growth. I think the growth slows down maybe 2, 3%. I think the first quarter, John, Omicron is taking a bigger toll in certain sectors, not because of deaths and hospitalizations, thankfully, but because people are staying home. A lot of these big blue states have panicked. You know, New York is making everybody stay at home. Here at Fox, we're having to abide by all these crazy city rules. You know, two people in, four people out. You can't sit on the same set with somebody. It's really crazy. The office buildings are not filling up the way they should be. And then, look, more generally speaking, we still have a crime problem. We got no bail, no jail, district attorney. We got a governor that doesn't want to fight it. The mayor is very ambiguous about it. And all these cities across the country, I mean, great American cities. Okay, New York, Chicago, L.A., San Francisco. These are great cities. And we want to keep them great.
And we want to make them great again. I mean, we're losing Los Angeles. We're losing San Francisco. Did you hear that comment from Union Pacific that they may want to pull out of L.A. or California?
Well, it wouldn't surprise me. I'm just saying, you're not going to return these cities to greatness until you clean the streets off. Okay? You have to clean the streets off. I don't mean to sound hard-hearted. I understand mental problems. I understand addiction problems. But these things should be treated while in incarceration. You cannot allow these homeless villages to take over and swallow the cities. And you cannot have local law authorities say no bail, no jail. This has to be tightened up enormously. And it's not yet happening.
Larry Kudlow, thank you for your wisdom. Thank you for speaking out on behalf of the economy in our country. God bless you and God bless America.
Thank you.
Let's take a break, and we're going to be coming back with Kathy Wild, she's a CEO of the New York City Partnership and had a meeting on Zoom with Alvin Bragg this morning, and she's going to talk about it, about safety in our city and how the corporate executives feel about it and how Alvin Bragg felt about it. Let's take a break first.